Everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Rahapa podcast. That's right, folks. We took a hiatus. We're back here again to unpack this wacky show that we know and love and sometimes tolerate, but mostly love, Masked Singer. Season 7 is upon us. The good, the bad, the cuddly. I am, of course, your host, Puya, the Flask Zanvakili, ready to be here once again with you. And as always, I am not alone. I've got my ride or die with me. It is the one, the only, Liana, the candle, Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
I'm lit up, baby. Yes. I don't know. What else do candles do? Flicker? I'm shining.
No, you are lit. That was great. We're good. I think that's where we go.
Okay. I'm really excited to be back. I mean, I feel like I'm so inundated with reality television right now. The Masked Singer absolutely snuck up on me. Mm-hmm, but once I started watching the episode, I was right back in it. It's so camp. It's so silly. It's so stupid. It's so ridiculous. And I have so many emotions for such a silly show. So I can't wait to get into everything with you.
Same. I mean, honestly, it came out of nowhere. I've been plugging it. Like, you know, we're coming up soon, starting with Survivor. But then once I hit play, it really became real, because I will say this, neither of us have really looked at the preseason stuff. We've not looked at I haven't watched the sneak peek episode they put out. So I came into this relatively blind. I had seen some pictures of some of the costumes, but it's back and it's in the middle of all these other reality TV shows. But I will say, out the gate, no spoilers yet, I think we're going to have a fun season. I'm very excited, cautiously very excited.
I think so too. I think the way that they decided, well, I feel initially I was like, oh, Old West, three teams, the good, the bad, and the cuddly. That's funny. That's so cute. I thought it was going to be three teams versus each other with like a champion from each team, but it seems like they're mixing it up, which I was like, that seems like a terrible decision, but okay, work, like go for it.
Yeah. So the title, the second title of the show this season is The Good, the Bad, and the Cuddly. And that refers to how they've grouped some of these performers. So five of the costumes are dubbed the good, five of them the baddies, and five of them the cuddly, of course.
And I know, I keep wanting to say uglies, and I'm like, no, not the uglies.
I mean, listen, sometimes some of the cuddlies can be some of the uglies. We'll definitely talk about one of the costumes when they come up here. But I was actually surprised by the way they did it. So the way the show ended up doing this first episode, we had 2-2-1 split on which teams got a person on to perform. And then ultimately one of them gets unmasked and we move on. Now, what we've heard the rest of the format for the season to be is that next week and then the week after, we're going to see the same four people compete, go down to three, and then compete, go down to one. And then we're going to find a new group of five, Liana.
Mm-hmm, right. So I think this is most similar to season three, but it's going to be less time before we get to meet the next group. So to me, that's what makes it palatable. Whereas I just felt like it was like, what, like 6 weeks or something insane. Well, maybe it's the same. I don't know. Whatever. It seems slightly better to me for some reason. Maybe I'm just more optimistic right now. But, I like it when they mix it up. But if they were going to do the three teams, which I thought it was going to be the good versus the bad versus the cuddly, I guess they are doing that, but it's like all at the same time, which seems weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's a choice. A choice that I'm not quite mad at. I haven't figured out exactly how I feel about it, but I did enjoy not knowing who was going to be next, because if it was like all the good, well, we know who all the good costumes are. We know who all the bad costumes are. So the fact that they switched it up was great, but I also might have missed when they said that at the start of the episode, or maybe they didn't.
Because, I don't think they did.
Yeah. Like Nick was like, all right, and now the bad team is like, wait a minute, what? Bad team?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it was really confusing, because I was like, oh, okay, which, like, right, we're gonna start with the good, and this is like, you know, team good, all right, team good night. And I was like, the cuddly, oh, okay, all right, so we're starting with the cuddly, team cuddly, like, let's go team cuddly. And then we get the thingamabob goes first, and then up next was what, the ram? And I was, or no, what was it, the hydra? No,
it was Cyclops. The no, it was thingamabob, then the McTerrier.
Oh yeah, then the McTerrier, yes. And so we went to the good, and it was like, okay, wait, hold on. I think I missed a memo somewhere here. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. Speaking of memos, though, let's pass one out to the audience right here, right now. Just a reminder, if you are new here to this Masked Singer podcast, first of all, happy to have you. Welcome aboard for season 7. If you can leave us a rating or review at the top of the season, it's always appreciated. It allows people to find us. You can find that information over on robinsonwebsite.com/MaskedSinger, MaskedSinger. Thank you so much for that in advance. The way we do the Masked Singer show, we go into it completely blind. We don't look up any articles that might speculate on who the people are. We don't look at any videos that speculate on who the people are. We do all our own research independently. And by that, I mean, I do my research. Like I, you know, look through some stuff on Wikipedia's potentially trying to figure some stuff out there. Liana does the same. Then we break it down live here for you on the podcast. So if you end up looking at some other videos and stuff, of course, go for it. You know, do how enjoy the show however you want to enjoy. Just please do not add us with your results or findings there, just so that we can attempt to do it ourselves, if you may. The other thing I wanted to bring up here is that we're doing a bit of a format change for this season of The Masked Singer. Now, if you've noticed, this is the first time you're hearing from us this season. We did not do a draft for the season. And we pretty much got our first impressions here with this premiere episode. So here's what we're going to do for the season, okay? We're going to do our draft tonight, but we're doing it in three parts. So tonight, Liana and I will draft of the four people remaining from Group A. When we get to episode 4 and they introduce the second group to us, we will do the same thing there, and then we'll do the same thing in Group C. So that way we would have each drafted 6 people out of the 12 that remain, and we are set to go with the draft. And Leon, are you okay with this arrangement? Do you think that'll work?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I feel like now that, you know, you did the Big Brother Canada draft and we did the Survivor draft, there's no preseason information that we can glean. So I almost feel like you get one episode, that's your preseason coverage. Those are your Mike Bloom interviews. And now you get to make a decision. Plus it makes the math easy. So I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that here's what we're going to do. So obviously I won the draft. Shout out Puya. I did the thing. And I get to pick the draft order. However, because we're splitting it into three, it makes it a tad bit difficult, because if I say I'm the first pick and then we alternate, technically I'll end up being first pick on all three batches. And that seems unfair because it's like three separate groups. So here's what I think we should do. And I think you're fine with this as well, potentially. Let's do, I pick the draft order for this one. And then in one of B or C, I can declare myself as the first pick there as well. And then the remaining group, whether it is B or C, you get to make the first pick. And that's how we'll go about it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So essentially you get 2 first picks. I'll get 1 first pick, but I get 2 second round picks, right? So I think if you do the placement math, I'm sure it's close, but you still get the benefit of winning the draft last season.
I get the benefit there, and then you unfortunately will end up with 2 fourth picks, but who knows? Maybe there's a group there where like all 4 are strong, and that would be a winner situation there.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Okay. And therefore, now that since we're doing it that way, the way we're going to format these introductory episodes where we're meeting them for the first time, we're going to do it draft style. So I'll pick who I want to pick now, and we'll just immediately talk about them first, their clue package or clue-mercial, if you will, and their performance and so on.
Yes. All right. That sounds perfect. Yeah. So we're still going to go through all the performances. It's just going to, we're doing the draft on top of it. So the order might change a little bit. So
just a tad.
Just a tad pole tad.
Right. So, Liana, before we get any further, real quick, what did you think about this Western Nick Cannon kicking open the saloon doors with the bedazzled cowboy hat?
I thought it was good because it fit the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because I was like, oh, okay, they're doing a Western theme. Why would you not put the teams against each other? I don't understand. You have the good, the bad, the ugly. There's five in each team. There's five. There's three groups. Why?
Interesting because my initial reaction was going to be, oh, it's because, you know, people have complained that you're putting the same three, four people against each other every week. There's no like cross competition early until the finals. But then when you realize that, oh, it's just these five they've picked and they're going to keep whittling each other down anyway. It's like, oh, so it's the same format. But then why would you put them in teams then?
Yes, exactly. Why would they be grouped in the first place? Like, it's like you come up with this really cool idea and then there's absolutely no follow through. You know what I mean? It's like in Survivor, if they had given out that advantage, like the advantage amulet or whatever, but then like nothing ever like happened with it. It was like, okay, we got this really cool idea, smother yourself in mud, and then they just never gave him the amulets. Like, you got to follow through with your cool ideas.
Well, stupid. Can we quickly look at these who's in what group? Because you know, the other argument is, well, you know, everyone that's looking good, cuddly, bad, they're all in the right group. So here's who is in the good group. Okay. So the good group has the McTerrier, the Ringmaster, Prince.
when the Prince was the first one to come out, and I was like, wait, what? Like, it took me so long to realize. Okay, no. So it's not like a mascot version of Prince. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, the artist it's the frog. Yeah, you kiss a frog, they turn into a prince.
I know, but I thought it was going to be Prince.
You thought it was going to be the Prince.
I mean, obviously it can't be the Prince,
right?
But I thought it was going to be, you know how they have mascots of people? So I thought it was going to be like for just a second until I saw the costume and then I got it. But when I heard the word Prince, that's what I thought of.
I will say I'm very happy you got it because wow.
I'm smart.
You're very smart. Armadillo, Firefly, Roundup, the good. They all seem right for the good team. Okay. They're not in contention for me. They seem like they fit the mold. Then you've got the bad. The bad includes Ram, Queen Cobra, Jack in the Box, Hydra, and Cyclops. Again, I think they all seem like the bad, the villainous, like, ooh, spooky. So that's fine. They fit the bad. It's the cuddly that I want to talk about real quick. So the cuddly includes Baby Mammoth, who, of course, you take anything, make it a baby. It's usually cute.
Yeah.
Easy done. Lemur. Okay, you know, King Julian, I like to move it as well.
They've got like big eyes and fluffy tails, so that's like cute.
Miss Teddy,
scary though.
Which one?
Lemurs, they're a little bit
Miss Teddy is the other cuddly one. Space Bunny, also cuddly. And then there's the thingamabob. Liana, who decided the thingamabob is cuddly? I would like to have a word with them.
Okay, that's so funny because I actually didn't have a problem with the thingamabob being the cuddly one. Like, that's not the one that I thought that you were going to take issue with. Space Bunny.
Why?
I don't know. Space Bunny's freaky.
Space Bunny does look like they were repurposed from like the animatronic band at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. It's a Playtime Pizza or whatever. It's one of those character movie things. I don't know. It's really scary. But why are you scared of Thingamajig? You don't think a Thingamajig is fuzzy?
No, Thingamajig was on season two. This is Thingamabob.
Okay. You know, fine. I mean, Thingamabob.
Thingamabob has like a fish's face, but then like the ears of like a lynx. And then is wearing like a bedazzled like mirror type outfit. With like furry ankles or like furry legs.
I think it's cute.
I mean, listen, you know what? Perfect time. The first opinion piece, Twitter response for the audience for this season. Is the thingamabob cute?
Cuddly. Is it cuddly?
Is it cuddly or not cuddly? Is it cuddly or not cuddly? Let us know on Twitter at Puyaism, at Leon RHAP. Thank you. All right. We've talked enough about non-draft stuff. Let's dive into the first pick of the draft. So I'm picking first.
Yes.
And I'm picking the person who made the biggest splash on the night. So much so that there had to be an encore. Give me the Firefly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. I think it's an easy first pick. I think that she is such a strong performer. This is a no-brainer for me.
Yeah. Let's peel back the Firefly's curtains potentially here by looking at the commercials, which for this episode, at least, they have now found a new way to pun, which I'm upset that we didn't get to this for six seasons. A Clue-mercial. Liana, take it away.
Yes, the Clue-mercial, which also they're like selling stuff. So it's like an infomercial, like especially kind of thing. Like it gave me infomercial vibes, not just like straight commercial vibes.
It's not the thing is, it's still an ad. It's just not an ad about them necessarily. It's more of an ad for a product they're peddling, but it's also an ad for them because it's a Clue package. So the duality was not lost in me.
Do you think the product is a Clue?
Listen. Let us know what the Clue-mercial said about Firefly and let's figure it out together.
Okay. So the Firefly, who, like, when she first walked out, she's obviously very small, as Jenny would. She's got dancer legs, but then it felt like everybody had dancer legs. So I don't know what that means. Anyway, so the Clue-mercial was, she was backstage. I thought it was a runway show at first, but it's clearly some type of stand-up. There was the program, like the playbill that was her at the Apollo. So definitely some kind of acting thing. There was a weird framed photo of Tyler Perry. There was also the Statue of Liberty was another piece that was shown. And then her product that she was selling was the fly on the wall charger or whatever, like a backup charger.
Yes. Yes. It was on the fly.
Oh, on the fly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Fly on the Wall Productions, Big Brother. This is a Big Brother contestant.
I even wrote on the fly.
Well, you still, like, still said Fly on the Wall.
No, I mean, I know.
Lovely. It wouldn't be a Masked Singer podcast if Liana didn't do one of them. So I like that. Yeah, so I don't think necessarily that the Clue package, the infomercial product is a Clue, because I wouldn't know where to look for that Clue. What I do think you've pointed out, though, the Apollo, like, comedy flyer thing, the stand-up scene, Tyler Perry, Statue of Liberty, I think this is someone who either got their start in New York or got their start in comedy or is known for something New York-themed or known for something in comedy is kind of where I'm looking at it.
Okay, yeah. So, actually, I'm happy. So, if we're going to do our guesses, so... If y'all noticed during this episode, no vault guesses from the judges.
Mm-hmm.
So we too, as we just mirror the great show that is The Masked Singer, we too will not be doing vault guesses. So we will be getting into every little single tiny thought that we had about who these people might be. Who are they?
Yeah, the vault train has left the station. And did not pick us up, so we will be seeing that vault train later. Is it an interesting choice for them not to bring it up? I wonder why, because I feel like they did, pretty much this last season, they did tailor a lot of it with the judges and the competition between them. Ooh, who's going to win the golden ear? So I'm very surprised that they chose to cut it out.
I think they're probably just over it. You know, like, it felt like this season with the theme, they were trying to be, like, a little bit different.
Like it might be too much.
Yeah, or I don't know. It's just like, it's played out. We're at season 7. Like, whatever. Let's just drop it.
Drop the vault. No, drop the vault train. Keep the theme. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. That's
nice.
Good.
Okay.
That's
good. Very good job by me. All right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the like, all of it with the Clue package. Then came the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I think the... Firefly was like the only one that really went for more of a ballad approach to start the season, which I didn't mind. But I did say encore earlier, and this is because one of the wildest things we've seen ever, let alone in a premiere, happened, Liana, where it's Ain't Nobody by Chaka Khan. It's a ballad version of that. The Firefly nails it, and it's soothing. It's filling me with joy. I'm loving it. And then the Firefly starts coughing, and there's panic in the room. They're like yelling for medics, and Ken Jeong gets up to look at what's happening. And I was terrified at what was going on. Initially, I thought it was like, I'm going to lean down and pretend something's wrong and then break into the chorus. It was most certainly not that.
That's what I thought it was going to be too. Yeah. So she, you know, is starting the song. Everything seems normal. And she starts coughing. And I was like, oh, maybe she's just coughing. But then I don't know if this was the sound editing of it all, because the way you can tell that someone's choking is there's no air coming through. So you actually don't hear any coughing sound because the airway is blocked. If you hear someone coughing, that actually means they're not choking. Does that make sense? So
that's some good science work right there, Boris. I love it.
I know, right? So she's coughing, but then all of a sudden the coughing stops, but she's still like dying. And so then I was like, oh my God, maybe she is choking. And then, you know, Ken, MD to the rescue, out of my way. I'm a doctor. Or, you know, I know exactly who
is. Oh my God,
choking.
That's why he ran up to the stage. I forgot he's a doctor.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty easy to forget given his actions. So I don't blame you.
That's why. Okay. That makes perfect sense now. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so he runs up to like do his thing. And then I was like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? And then they come back after the break and they just go into the last performance.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they couldn't edit that out. Just edit that out.
I mean, it's the premiere. It's the premiere. It's, you know, for them, it's a way to like, ooh, you never know what's going to happen on Masked Singer. I really think that's what happens here. And this wasn't the first time we got something like this on the episode. We'll talk about the other time where we had a kind of like a first time, ooh, shocker moment on the episode itself. But what I found fascinating was, okay, so then this happens. Nick Cannon comes back with commercial break and says, the Firefly is doing fine, but they're backstage. And as always, the show must go on. But then they continue with someone at the Ram, and then they bring the Firefly back next. And what I did notice, so it's the same song. Okay. Firefly is keeping that same energy, singing the same song. Did you notice, and I'm trying to like double check here, they did not really put any or as much smoke out, I feel like, as they did the first performance.
Oh,
I think
mean, that
that's what caused
why.
It. Yeah, if you look at the second frame of it, there is significantly less smokiness in the air. There's like some, but it's all like limited to below her. I don't know if they were able to fix that or I'm just looking at it wrong, but that is what I'm noticing.
No, that makes sense why they would have to I don't know, like why she was coughing in the first place. But I feel like they do it during rehearsals. Maybe they don't do the full smoke and mirrors during the rehearsals. So that ended up being the whole issue. But anyway, once she was able to sing, oh my God, there's a reason why she was the top pick. She's absolutely fabulous. And I think she's a very talented singer.
Oh, the Firefly is phenomenal. And I really can't wait to see what the Firefly can give us, because like the Ain't Nobody is a more upbeat song. And the way she was able to make it a ballad and it sounded like that's the original to me. Mm-hmm. Shows me range. Also, I'm not seeing a lot of difference in the smoke. I just quickly look back at the footage. Maybe that's wrong.
okay, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe my smoke detection is off there. But I liked everything I saw from the Firefly. I think the Firefly is going to go a long way in this season. And I'm very happy to have her on Team Puya. Now, the judges, they did, first of all, they gave the Firefly a standing O after, you know, going backstage, coming back to do it again. Big standing O. The two guesses that the judges put out, Liana, one was Alicia Keys. The other was Aisha Tyler, backed by Aisha Tyler Perry, which I thought was good. Comedienne Aisha Tyler. I like that. Now, I've not been watching Whose Line Is It Anyway as closely as I once did. Do we know if Aisha Tyler can sing? Because I'm not mad at this guess if she can.
She probably can. She seems like one of those people that's very talented. The only thing is that she's very tall and
doing the height check.
Firefly, yeah, is not so tall. So did someone guess Monica?
Jenny did, I think, backpack her guests with throwing Monica in there as well after saying Aisha Tyler.
Because I was, Brandy was my, like, what may have been my vault guess, because I felt like, isn't she, she's been in a Tyler Perry movie. I was trying to think of, I was like, okay, who's been in a Tyler Perry movie that I know can sing? So I was like, okay, Brandy, Mary J. Blige, although she's been busy with the Super Bowl, so probably not going to go on Masked Singer, but it would, there's Super Bowl appearances, right? Because do we know what the stats are for this season?
Stats like the, for the
how many Super Bowl? Yeah, you know how like at the beginning, they've been to the DMV 15 times. They have 17 children. They, you know, like that kind of thing.
So the Masked Singer usually puts that in like their sneak peek. I have not checked that out. So I would have to check it out to get back to you on that. Or unless it's on like the main Masked Singer season 7 article, which I don't see.
No, it's not on the Wikipedia at least, but
okay.
Anyway, so that's what I was thinking. So I was also, the other thought I had was Taraji P. Henson, but I don't know. I think she can sing, right? Can she sing?
I think so. You want to know some fun facts about this season?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the first season since season 4 where there will be no wild cards.
Oh, wild card.
Yeah.
How quickly I forget.
No wild cards. Also, first season without first impression guesses. Yeah. And the first season with an odd number of contestants at 15.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because they did 3 groups of 6 the last time.
Yeah.
Right. Season 8, 3.
Yes. And also, they've changed costume designers. They have lost Marina Toybina, who was the costume designer for Masked Singer US. And she was replaced by Tim Chappelle, who is the costume designer for Australian Masked Singer.
Ah, okay, interesting. Yeah, I did feel like the costumes had a slightly different vibe. I thought especially the Hydra, I think, is like insane. So we can talk about that and Ringmaster like when we get there. But okay, interesting. Good to know.
Okay. So that, you know, I'm ready to move on to the next person, Liana, but that means you have to take us there. Who is the second person we're going to talk about and your pick in the draft?
Okay, to me, this is also a no-brainer pick. I had my very clear order that I wanted to draft, and I am going to be going with the cuddly, the thingamabob.
The thingamabob, okay. Thingamabob in the building.
So the thingamabob is tall, can dance, which I liked. I felt was a really fabulous singer. And I actually have I feel like I know who this is.
Oh, well, out the gate.
Okay. Well, I don't actually, but the clues led me in one direction and one direction only. And I couldn't think, well, not one direction, but, you know, because that would be like, come on, One Direction's not going to be on the show.
Okay.
But it led me to a very clear idea, and I can't get that out of my head. So I'm curious to know what you thought as well, because maybe you can convince me otherwise.
I am very, very excited to hear this, because it would be awful if you think you figured someone out, but that also came through on a season where we're not doing vault guesses.
I mean, it's my luck. It makes sense. Okay, so clue package. What did you get from the clues?
Okay, so let's go to the clue package. We figure out based on stuff, first of all, thingamabob, very tall. There's some talk that maybe it could be a linebacker or a defensive lineman. And then the clues kind of made you think that that's where we should be looking at, is a football player. Because there was the bulldog was there. There was a tackle box tackling. Okay. Mm-hmm. I did see the fishing net or the butterfly net kind of looked like it could be like a lacrosse thing. So again, more athlete. So I completely thought they were telling me it's a football player. Then there was a Hotel California reference in there. And by reference, I mean, there was like a building that said Hotel California on it. So I wasn't 100% sure where to look with the thingamabob, especially after the performance. Because I don't think it's a football player.
Oh, you don't think it's a football? Okay, well,
listen, even if I do, I don't know football players like that to tell you, oh, this person can sing, this person can't sing. So then you're completely defaulting to you here.
Okay. Okay, so here's the thing. The Masked Singer will typically do this where they put so many clues into one profession in the very first clue package, but it's not that. Like they did with the Natasha Bedingfield. Her clues were all TikTok star, social media star, TikTok star. It was just because she had that, you know, her song like became famous because of social media. So that was why they had her. So this could be a situation where it's actually not an athlete, but they just put in all of these athlete things. So I'm very prepared to be completely wrong. However, as soon as I saw the eagle, all the football stuff, the tackle box, all that, and the bell, I thought of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I could not get the Philadelphia Eagles out of my brain. So I Googled Philadelphia Eagles players that can sing, and I got two names. Jason Kelce, who is, I think, a tight end for the Eagles, or was a tight end, right? Does he still play for the Eagles?
Again, wrong person. My football is soccer. So,
Okay, yes. So American football player for the Eagles. He is like, has been to the Super Bowl champion. Okay. So that fits, like that could very much be the case. Apparently he sang at like some basketball game or something. And he like leads there. He sang the national anthem at a Sixers game. Okay. So I was like, okay, so this could be a guy. The other guy that came up on my list was Jordan Mailata. I don't know. He's also a Philadelphia player, but he is a tackle box. He's an offensive tackle box, and he previously played in a rugby league for the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Boom.
That's good.
I like genuinely could not believe. I was like, oh my God, all the clues line up. I'm a genius.
Okay. Now, may I hit you with an alternative here?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm seeing all these clues and I'm thinking, I definitely know football. And I'm seeing the bell and I'm thinking football, Philadelphia Eagles. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wait. There's a band called the Eagles. Oh. What about one of the band members from the Eagles? Could it be one of them?
Okay. So let's see. If it was going to be someone from the Eagles, how old are they?
Is 74.
Yeah.
Joe Walsh is 74. Timothy Schmidt is 74. Yeah. Deacon Frey does not have a wiki. Oh, wait.
Yeah, which like, okay, so because they have the album, right? Hotel California, which is where that clue would come from. But this guy does not move like look, modern medicine, being a celebrity, I'm sure, but this guy does not move like a 74-year-old.
Okay, so so one of them has passed in 2018. Then there's Vince Gill, who was 64.
Okay, so your guess is Vince Gill.
No, I don't have a guess. We're not doing guesses. I'm merely speculating because... Again, I don't know. Did you get to listen to any of these two football players sing?
No, but when I Googled Philadelphia Eagles players that can sing, watch and be amazed by Eagles rookie Jordan Mailata.
So what I would argue with that is I didn't feel like there was a lot of movement from the thingamabob, but I also do agree that probably not a 74-year-old in that costume.
It was more like before he performed when he was jumping and dancing when he came out. Now, again, all of this is predicated on the fact that it is indeed a football player, which, as I mentioned, the Masked Singer has a tendency to completely do the pulling out the thing from, you know, pulling out the rug from underneath your feet where they give you all those clues. It's like, oh, yeah, it's a football player. And it's not even a football player. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, and
I don't know what fishing does that I didn't get.
I don't know what the fishing does. Again, I do think you're right though, in that typically they'll give us all the layup-y clues if that person is not long for this realm on the Masked Singer. But I feel like the Thingamabob could make it to the finals.
Yeah.
Right, the finals of at least the final face-off of this episode three. So then would they have given us these clues? What if the bulldog is simply a clue to, hey, Nick Cannon, this person knows Nick Cannon. Who knows Nick Cannon? So then we can look at, you know, some other stuff that Nick Cannon's been in, you know, like A Real Husbands of Hollywood, and see who's on there. Could this be Boris Cujo? Could this be J.B. Smoove? Could this be Dwayne Martin? Don't know. So what I do know, though, Liana, is that the performance of Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi to start the season was phenomenal. I love this performance. I thought it was really good. The backup dancers were tripping me out a little bit. I couldn't tell what the backup dancers were. You know, typically, oh, the McTerrier's coming on, there's like poodle dancers. I don't know. The Thingamabob's dancers were like purple with purple hair. And then there were guitaring, but then there was one in like the box above the Thingamabob that had like was like taller with like dreads. No, it's like a palm tree. It's like a dancing palm tree with like big fingers and a pink guitar. I don't know what to tell you about what the dancers were, but I was intrigued. And I like that it was like the motif was, yeah, we're at a storage container shipment area by the water, you know, where like there's those big metal like travel container things. So I like the performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the performance as well. I thought it was really fun. Again, a great singer. I actually debated taking, like, if you had somehow given me the first pick, I actually thought about taking the Thingamabob first because I felt like the Firefly is always my go-to, like, kind of pick. And, like, maybe I want to try you typically, something different.
Yes, yes.
So I'm here for it.
It's not a bad pick at two. It's really not a bad pick at two. Now, we've speculated enough about who we think this could be. Philadelphia Eagles, Eagles the band, who knows? But let's see what the judges thought, okay? So the judges, Ken went with James Hetfield, lead singer of Metallica, okay? Mm-hmm. Jenny went an interesting route, I thought. So Jenny took it to be, you know, wrestling bell, bulldog, like the running, like a bulldog, like a wrestling maneuver, running bulldog, says Chris Jericho. Now, I'm familiar with Chris Jericho as a singer. Chris Jericho has a band named Fozzy, and I've listened to a lot of their music back in high school. This is not Chris Jericho.
Wait, is he the wrestler?
Chris Jericho?
Who isn't there a wrestler named Chris Jericho?
Yeah. Why would this guy? Yeah. Why would we be referencing wrestling?
I don't know. Okay. I got confused.
What? Hold on. Explain.
No. I misheard.
Are you listening? You see, Liana?
Yes, I am listening. Yes, I am. My brain shut off for a second.
Also, the Thingamabob looks very tall and Chris Jericho is 6 foot. So aside from the fact that I know it's not Chris Jericho based on voice, Chris Jericho is not that tall. Then Robin Thicke went with Terrell Owens.
I guess, but I feel like isn't Terrell Owens not, I mean, he's tall, but I don't think he's that tall because I felt like the Thingamabob was really tall.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, the little like. I guess he's also 6'3". I don't know. I feel like Terrell Owens is not doing the Masked Singer. Can Terrell Owens sing like that? I don't know.
Well, listen. Maybe we have time for the week to listen to the NFL's Now This Is What I Call Music Volume 8, and get back to everyone about it.
They should do that. I mean, they kind of did it with the Super Bowl Shuffle, and then they never really like recaptured that.
That magic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not sure who I'm going to pick next year. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I'll tell you who pick number three is. All right, Liana, pick number three on the board or about to be on the board. That's a big drop off. After the first two picks, it was a steep drop off for me down to either Cyclops or the Ram. However, one of them is better than the other. So by picking this person, I'm giving you the other. Give me from Team Bad, give me Cyclops. Put Cyclops on my team. What do you think about that?
I thought the Ram was better.
Are you joking me?
I thought the Ram... Okay, here's the thing. The Cyclops, at first I was like, ooh, and then I was like, yeah. And then the Ram was like, yeah. And then I was like, ooh. You know what I'm saying?
Classic ooh, yeah, yeah, ooh mix up, of course.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So I can't remember ultimately where I ended up landing, but I agree that there is like sort of the top two, drop, bottom two.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, whatever, it's fine. I can't be mad. I just can't imagine the Cyclops moving. I actually thought you might consider going for the Ram because of the razzle dazzle of it all, because the Cyclops has this like massive head. It's huge. It looks so heavy.
It does. It does look heavy. It is heavy. It looks very difficult to walk in. But what I would say for that is I just don't see the Ram being anything beyond the razzle dazzle. And even the razzle dazzle wasn't dazzling me or razzling me all that much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. All right. So what about the Cyclops?
So let's look at the Cyclops's Clumercial. The Cyclops lives, it's like in a cluttered mess under the bed, but I think that's more Cyclops than unmasked version of Cyclops. The three big clues I picked out of this were the compass that was pointing southeast.
Yep.
The turtle that had a cowboy hat on, and then the comic book. Okay. Those are the three big things I found. Did you find anything else that I'm missing from my notes?
The turtle with the cowboy hat. And then also there were a lot of stuffed bears, and also one of the bears had a hat. I feel like hats are a big deal. It was like a very specific type of hat.
Maybe the Cyclops is someone that can wear many hats, if you get what I'm saying.
I felt like it was the same hat.
Okay.
Like it was a cowboy hat and then also kind of looked like a cowboy hat.
Hmm. I mean, I don't know. It kind of, because like the Cyclops is clearly in like a kid's room. So maybe that's not got to do with anything. But also the compass was on top of a pumpkin. Does that give you anything?
There was like a lot of stuff in the room. So I was having a hard time determining what was important and what wasn't important. Like, yeah, you're right. Is it a southeast pumpkin?
The old southeast pumpkin. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't know who this is. I don't know where to look. I think the comic book is a good clue for me to use to dig. Because if you remember, the Fox's clue back in season two had a huge comic book styling to it as well, which we found out was because Wayne Brady had illustrated a comic book or had collaborated in some kind of comic book type thing at some point. So that could be an interesting clue. Could this be someone that has starred in a movie that has comic book characters or in a show that features comic book characters? Or is it just someone who's worked with comic books? I don't know. Southeast, you know me, my geography is garbage. So I wouldn't be able to tell you, oh, that's because they're from this region. I don't know which regions are in Southeast. So I'd have to look that up. So
you think like Southeast, like, is, do you think it's US centric or the world? Like, are we talking like Southeast Asia, Australia?
Oh, I would imagine like
Florida.
US. I would imagine, Florida, maybe Florida. Yeah. That's what I would imagine.
Okay. Interesting.
So, yeah, tell me about the performance, or if you have a bit of a guess on who it could be, tell me that.
I'll talk about the performance. It was Creed, which made me start laughing, but it was good. It was fine. I felt like this was a more mature voice. And this, I can't remember if this is the ooh-ah or an ah-ooh. But either way, I had some type of change in opinion while I was listening to it, either for the better or for the worse. But what was really of note is that there were no backup dancers. So it was just the Cyclops kind of like planting his little sandaled feet in the middle of the stage, just sort of singing his heart out. And that was really cute. I thought that the lightning and the fire and all of those things in the background were really fun as well.
Yeah, I thought the performance was okay. Fine. I did like the blue flames motif. That was cool. Beyond that, honestly, I don't have much to add because I felt like it was a middle of the road, fine performance. Again, a safe enough performance that you're there to do this again, at least one more time. And I do think, you know, we've discussed this at length on this podcast, but next episode could come down to the song choice. But I feel like I still fancy the Cyclops' odds over the Rams' odds. Now, go ahead.
What's that is, yeah, I agree. It's either the Cyclops or the Ram. So I think it's just a matter of which one of the two of them is going to go home.
Yes. I did like that the Cyclops' eye was like shining, but like there's a light in there. It feels
it like. Moves.
It does move. It yeah. is the, it is the second costume, I think, since the serpent that moves like that.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I did fancy that quite a bit. And I do think that, you know, I enjoy when they do sell this. It's good to know that even though we've lost the original costume designer, that the new costume designer is still doing stuff like this. Innovation. I've not been watching Australian Masked Singer, so maybe they've been doing that there too, but I don't know. So I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that quite a bit.
Okay. So this was my guess for who this person could be. So the things that stood out to me, Southeast, but I interpreted it Southeast like Australia Southeast. Mm-hmm. And I saw the turtle with the little cowboy hat and comic book being like animated, comic and animated animals, turtle in the water in so I thought it was the voice actor of the turtle from Finding Nemo.
And you are going to present this as a legitimate vaulted guess if we had to do that this season.
That is correct.
I would have lost my mind.
His name is Andrew Stanton.
All right. Well, what's the point of podcasting? Might as well just retire now and live off of that bet.
I know. I nailed it. Because he does. So he's like a writer. He like wrote WALL-E and he's mm-hmm. been working for like animation, Pixar. cartoon comic
intro. So turtle comic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is right there. So
but it was wearing a hat, Puya. It wasn't okay. A bandana, it was a hat.
Maybe it's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles but like southern eastern
southeastern, if you will.
South that's what I meant. I don't know. Okay, well,
the turtle's listen. Name was Crush.
Thank you for that. That's a good fun fact. Thank you.
Oh, well, does that relate? Was there a crush? Did he have a crush on anybody?
Thankfully not. We have not reached the I'm a performer that has a crush on one of the judges portion of the season yet. So,
oh, but wait. Oh, my God. When it was the Hotel California clue for the thingamabob, I was like, well, I'm sure he stayed in a hotel.
Hey, I mean, you know, oh, we've reached the second time I'm going to ask the audience a question. Have you never stayed at a hotel? Let us know. I'm curious.
Do motels count?
Motels count.
Okay. So motel yeah. or hotel. Do but Airbnbs
count? Do not count. No, let's go with a hotel or something with like a desk that you have to check into. Yeah, okay. Let's go with that. Okay. Let's see what the judges said since we didn't really have a direction to go to. This was the wildest like variety of guesses, I think, so far for me. So Jenny McCarthy guesses William Zabka, of course, Cobra Kai. Okay. The nemesis of the Karate Kid, William Zabka. Nicole guesses Danny McBride because of, what was it? Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
Not mad at that based on the compass. That's not a bad guess. Okay. Robin Thicke said, I think, based on some references from the MTV realm and the DC shoes sponsorship, I'm going to guess Rob Dyrdek for this one. Of course, if you're hearing that name here, why does that sound familiar? Rob Dyrdek is single-handedly carrying MTV on his back somehow with hours and hours and hours of ridiculousness. Liana, the only thing more ridiculousness than ridiculousness is the ridiculousness of this guess by Robin.
Yeah. You know, at least some of the proceeds from the thingamabob will go to help Robin Thicke's wardrobe. If only they could also go to help Robin Thicke's guess here.
Listen,
yeah, it was a choice.
Yeah. Robin Thicke decided one season, I'm going to dress in only Hawaiian shirts and no one's ever going to let him forget it. Doesn't matter what he does after that. Like remember season 5 when you kind of just dressed down for the whole thing? Yeah, we're not going to let you forget that anytime soon. I did like that they threw true. A jab at him. It was great.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
All right. Well, what's more hilarious okay. is that now you are going to have to champion this next pick and why they're a good pick.
Okay. Yes. So The Ram, Team Baddies, let's go. Also, I hate the fact that Jenny is, of course, the representative from Team Bad.
Like, are we surprised? She is the villain.
I mean, yes. But it's like, you know how sometimes they're villains, but they're more anti-heroes, whereas she's just evil.
Yeah, she's whatever. No Walter White. She's Voldemort. She's 100% Voldemort. Yeah.
All right. So the Ram also seems like a pretty big, strong guy, but not as tall. I felt like once he was standing next to Nick, somewhere closer to like 6 feet tall. And from the clue package, I feel like we got a lot of football. But this made me equally feeling better about my previous Philadelphia Eagles guess. And also, like, I felt both better and worse. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, well, maybe this is the decoy. Like, this is the person that they want us to think is a football player, but actually isn't a football player. Huh. Because we get in the clue package. They're at the theater. There's the sign that says Hamlet X Macbeth. And then the whole advertisement is for shaving, which I don't know if that's relevant. But there was a football ref. There was a quarter return written on a piggy bank. And then there was like a quarter being put in its back. So everybody's like, oh my God, quarterback. I mean, there was a horse.
Yes, there was a horse. Yeah. So what's interesting about what you're saying to me is that after the performance, I think the Rams out. So I thought more than anything, this is 100% a football player. It's 100% a quarterback. And then I was just trying to figure out which quarterback is it going to be. There's a horse. Is this a Bronco? They mentioned the Colt. So I was like, oh, is this a Colt? So that's where my head went with all this. But let me give you some parts of the clue that I felt like didn't really necessarily give me the football vibes. So there were antlers on the mirror. Now, this could be a reference to like Buck, the Bucks, the Buccaneers, or the Milwaukee Bucks, either or. Could be a non-sport reference. Then there was the vibe. You mentioned, what was the product again?
The shaver. It was the Ram Scraper.
Yeah. So
horrible name.
So for me, the clue package starts with like a hey girl kind of vibe, like the Ryan Gosling meme. But if you think about it, it kind of gave me Old Spice vibes. It kind of gave me that Old Spice commercial feel. So I wrote in my notes, like, Terry Crews, ? I know he's the last person that's been the Old Spice guy. So I thought, is this someone who has been like, you know, working with Old Spice maybe just because of the way the commercial, the clue commercial was set up. But then the performance happens and it is, I Want You to Want Me by Cheap Trick. I did love the motif of the background quite a bit. This was an awful musical performance though.
Aw, you're being mean.
I am most definitely not being mean. I thought it was the worst performance of the night, genuinely.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I think the Ram gets saved because of how cool everything else looked. I think, first of all, the Ram's costume is top tier. I really do love the Ram's costume. It's like a Spartan warrior with like a Ram's helmet, which I like a lot. And then the dancers were good. The Roman motif, the columns were great. Everything there I liked a lot. But this was, and not to sound Simon Cowell-ish, this was like a karaoke performance at best. And not even a 8 p.m. karaoke, you're one beer deep. Like 1 a.m., you've had a couple beers, and then you've slammed like two tequila shots. Bad. That's how I felt about it.
I guess the song, that would explain the song choice. I figured it out based on my notes. The Ram was the one that I thought was good, but then wasn't as good as I originally thought, and the Cyclops got better, so that makes sense. And then that also makes sense with you picking Cyclops over the Ram. I think I was initially, maybe I was also, like you mentioned, wowed by how cool everything looked and by the costumes. I thought it looked really cool.
It was fun.
And then yeah, it was fun. And then the longer it went along, the longer I was like, okay.
Yeah, the oofs came out for me. And then, you know, to top it all off, Jenny says, you know, you came out here as a baddie, but you know, you're not so bad. Jenny, stop it. Stop lying to me. I know he's bad. I know he is bad for a reason. He's on the bad team because he's not good, period.
He ain't ever been with a baddie.
I'm glad we got that one time we can use that reference this season out of the way right here, right now.
No, I've never been with a baddie.
So now tell me what you thought about the judges' guesses here.
I don't remember them. Oh, yes. No, I do. Because they were fixated on the whole football of it all. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case. I don't think this is a football player because I'm convinced that the thingamabob is a football player, which means that the Ram most likely is not a football player because I don't think that they would put two football players together in the same group. Now, they totally would. And I'm just trying to give them credit, but whatever. So here's my thought. I think it's an actor. I picked up on the Hamlet, the Macbeth, the theater. I picked up on all of that. I think it's an actor, but maybe they played a football player. You okay. know what I mean?
So like I know who I want to guess.
Ooh, is it following my logic?
I mean, I'm going to guess an actor who played a football player.
Okay, I like that.
What's the name of the guy from Blue Mountain State?
Oh my God. Which one? Thad or Thad. The other guy?
No, not Moran. I feel like Moran kind of is a yeah, nothing burger of a celebrity. Thad has been doing some stuff.
Yeah, that's what makes me feel like it's more the other way around.
You think it's Moran?
No, I mean, maybe. It could be. Okay, what's that actor's name?
Let's see. He's Alex Moran to me, but tell us. You will always be Alex Moran in my eyes.
Let's see. What's Thad's name? The actor. He played Aquaman, right? Didn't he play Aquaman? No, not Aquaman. No, you know what I'm thinking of. He played.
Do I know what you're thinking of? I don't think so.
Okay, Thad, actor, Blue Mountain State. He was in some type of superhero movie. He was in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Wait, what am I thinking of?
Couldn't tell you.
Thinking of Thad though.
Are you sure? You're thinking of Thad, though.
No. Maybe I'm thinking of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. No, Hunger Games. Yes. Yes. He played the water guy from Hunger Games.
What's the water guy? What was that guy's name? Is it in the first movie? Because that's the only one I've watched.
No. No, he was in the second movie. Okay, this is like your parents and they can't remember anything. Okay, Alex Moran, his actor is Darren Brooks. Okay, just to like clear that up. And the guy who plays Thad, his name is Alan Richson. Richson?
Sure.
Sure. Did that help?
No, it did not help. But what I do think is I think we're on the opposite sides here. I think this is at least either a football player or someone linked to the world of football in some way, shape, or form. Now, whether it's they were featured in a commercial during the Super Bowl or something like that, or they are, you know, they are like a journalist in the realm of football or sports, or they're like a staffing coach of some sort. Water boy, it's the world of football in some way. I just can't help but think that the Ram is definitely getting on Mass next episode, and it has to be more of a gimme than the next. Because, real quick, Matthew Stafford was Ken's guest, Peyton Manning was Robin's guest. We can now move on to the next performance here. The next one, the undrafted, the unmasked. The Mick Terrier is the last person we're talking about here. Liana, part of me thinks that the only reason the Ram is still here is because the McTerrier's mask gets removed by mistake after the performance. Thoughts?
You think so? No, I think it's justifiable that the McTerrier, which also every single time McTerrier, I only think of McDonald's and it's like the McDonald's dog, the McTerrier. And I can't get that out of my brain.
I thought the performance was not bad.
Okay, I feel like we didn't acknowledge the McTerrier McDonald's part of this.
Is there actually a McTerrier dog mascot?
Yeah, well, does Ronald McDonald own a dog? If so, it should be the McTerrier.
Why should it be the McTerrier? Why shouldn't it be like the McPoodle?
Yeah, that's fine. He doesn't necessarily, I don't know what breed Ronald McDonald would own, but, given the fact that we have a McTerrier here, I feel like it should be the McTerrier.
Fine.
Okay, whatever.
Good joke.
it's not a joke. It's a thought. I feel like you're laughing, mocking me now.
No, that was very fun. It was good.
You're being mean.
No.
You're being mean.
Nah, you're very funny. And I enjoy you.
I think he shook his mask off because he couldn't see.
Yeah, it was okay. So we'll get there when we get there, because we can have thoughts about it. So the McTerrier, you know, I used to back in the day write down what song they walk out on, but this season I didn't really do that. But I can tell you this: the McTerrier walks out to bagpipes.
Yeah, well, that's because they're, of course, you know, they're going for the whole Scottish thing. That was a choice.
Swiftly moving on. So,
Lawrence Chaney.
Please, I'm getting word from the audience. They're telling you to stop.
Okay.
All right, you're welcome, audience. Yeah, Liana's accents are not her strong suit.
No.
Well, tell us about the Clumercial, lass.
I was told to be quiet. I don't understand. All right. Well, look, fine. The clues. All right. So this is an infomercial style thing, because the McTerrier was on the television screen and was like, "What's up, dogs? I have my Terry towel. And you can do a lot of stuff with it. You can clean your face when you smash."
This was a ShamWow skit, yeah, it felt like.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, is the ShamWow guy canceled? Did he die? No, that was...
I think he's just OxyClean canceled.
Guy. Did he get canceled? No, the MyPillow guy is canceled. ShamWow,
I don't think the ShamWow guy is just chilling freebie. I think the ShamWow guy is also canceled.
Okay. All right, so ShamWow guy. So that was my first thought. I was like, it's the ShamWow guy. And then I couldn't remember who's canceled or not. So I was like, maybe it's not the ShamWow guy. But yeah, that was definitely the vibe of the commercial. But the other things that were featured were the candle. There was an axe with a star on it. And then there was a golden record.
Right. So all of this led to golden record. All right, some kind of musician. Then the axe was confusing to me, because I clearly noticed the star, axe star. I was like, is this a star that's been axed? But that's a weird clue to have on here to reference somebody, because who wants to be like, yeah, I got axed? Like, I don't think that anyone wants to.
I got fired.
Yeah, like, that doesn't sound great. But then there was also the cake in the face. There was a cake in the face cutscene in the clue package as well. So all of this to then we get to the performance. The McTerrier opens up with a drum solo. And then sings the song "Working for the Weekend" by Loverboy. And I love the motif. It's all about working. There's poodles with jackhammers. There's poodles with wheelbarrows. There's poodles and there's a construction site. And it worked masterfully. Okay. I like that. I didn't really understand what was on the ground, like the floors motif, like the visions. I didn't get that. But I thought it was a decent performance until you get to the ending where the McTerrier decides, you know what I should do is howl at the end, and kind of did like a gasping, wheezing, like, "Hurr!" It's like, okay, that I didn't love. That didn't need to be there, but you did it.
Well, I felt like that was to cover up for the fact that he couldn't hit the last note.
Oh, well, he couldn't hit the howl either. So that was bad on both parts.
So, yeah, so that was a choice either direction. Okay, yeah. I felt like it was fine, but after the thingamabob, I was like, okay, we're back to like regular Masked Singer. But there was also the big stop on the bass drum. I didn't know if that just fit with the construction site. I assume so, that wasn't a clue or anything like that. And the thing that stood out to me the most was that very clearly this guy cannot see through his costume. I don't even know, like, if you can't see through the eye holes and the mouth is super tiny, he can't see through the mouth. I don't think he can see. I don't think he can see at all. He almost ran into Nick when he first came out on the stage. Very clearly during this performance, he couldn't see. And then he almost falls off the freaking stage.
Yeah. So he like takes an extra step towards the crowd, begins to start. And like, it's like half his foot was on the platform and half of it was in the air. So he started like leaning downwards, and then in the battle to like stay up, knocks the helmet off or knocks the mask off, seemingly by mistake. It genuinely felt like it was a mistake. I don't think this was a stunt they pulled. And then we go to commercial, and this happened before the Firefly stuff. So after the Firefly stuff, I'm like, what even is this episode? Too much is going on. But Then they put the mask back on the McTerrier. Everything seemingly fine. We were okay. Everything was okay. But I don't know. I feel like they might have taken a peek at who it was. And they're like, let's just get rid of the McTerrier now.
I don't know. They're covered with those full head things. So only their face is exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that they go back into hair and makeup and then they take the mask off. So they like do their hair and makeup up nice. They're in these weird little like head things. You know, like it's just their little circular face. But what was weird to me is how easily that mask like flew off.
It did flow. I mean,
it's like a little sus.
I mean, it could be suspect, but then I would argue that, and let's just skip to the who the person is real quick. So This ends up being a Duff Goldman, world-renowned pastry chef, who I found out features heavily on the Food Network. Now, I don't know Duff Goldman. I feel like if you're a Food Network fan, you definitely immediately know. I did a watch party with some of my community over on my Discord for this. And a few people did know who he was immediately. And a lot of us were like, who? So Then I would argue to you, they have never. When's the last time the first person unmasked was not someone who was like very, very known? You know, like in the first season, we had the football player whose name I forget, who has been heavily featured in more controversy this year. What was his name?
Who?
Exactly.
From which season?
Season one.
Oh, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown. Season two was Johnny Weir and Ninja got unmasked in the first episode. Season three was Lil Wayne. Season four was... Was that the dragon?
Sarah Palin unmasked.
Season three, episode seven.
Really?
Yeah. And I know that off the top of my head because it's specifically season three, episode seven.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, season four was Busta Rhymes.
Season four was Busta Rhymes. Season five was
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog. Season six was
Dwight Howard.
Yeah. These are all
and Vivica A. Fox,
immediately recognizable names. Immediately. So for me, I didn't think that this fits what they've been doing with having like the first boot be someone notable or someone like they're on the show. So that's why I think it was an accident that they just let be the first boot.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I guess we'll find out like once the cycle. So the Cyclops and the Ram, right? Theoretically, are then the other two more famous people that would be on the table.
That's why I think Ram is like a known quarterback, like a ooh, maybe not Peyton Manning, but like ooh, you know?
It's definitely not Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see.
We'll find out. Then what else do we have on the old McTerrier? What were the initial guesses for the judges here?
I don't remember what the guess is, Judge, but I can tell you what I'd guess.
I would love that. Tell me that.
All right. I had two schools of thought. One, they're both embarrassing, and one is slightly less embarrassing. So I guess I'll start with that one. Okay. So my first thought was like, okay, well, maybe because I saw the gold record. So I was like, well, maybe it is still a musician, but it's not a singer necessarily. Maybe it's a drummer, right? Because they played the drums at the beginning. So then I was like, okay, what other, and I was trying to make the guess quickly, mind you. So I was like, what if it's the drummer? Because at the beginning, so it's a dog, a McTerrier, and the beginning says, what's up, dogs? So I was like, maybe it's the drummer from the group that did Who Let the Dogs Out. It's the Baha Men drummer. The drummer from the Baha Men. Do they have a drummer?
So that's your first, that was your first school of thought. Who was your second school of thought?
Okay, my second school of thought, I saw this smashing the cake, okay? You smash your face in the cake, smashing cake, and then also it's like a pie in your face, kind of like comedian vibes. I saw the axe, you like smash things with an axe. What if it's Gallagher?
Okay, so you had two schools of thought, both schools of thought you flunked out of. And presented these guesses. The drummer for the Baha Men and Flippin' Gallagher were your two guesses here.
I think it fit. I mean, it wasn't correct, but like, I feel like I was close. The Baha Men, do they have a drummer? I feel like they're all just singing. drummer for the Baha Men. No, I don't think they
have. All right. Well, who let the bad guesses out? Liana. Okay. Speaking of bad guesses, Ken fully leans into the Scottish accent and says Mike Myers. And then Nicole also leans there and says Ewan McGregor. And then Robin Thicke says Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I guess Robin's guess is the best. Well, so I don't even know.
They kept these guesses. Okay. The three of them kept their guesses. Then Jenny McCarthy for the final guess says, I think it's Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster General himself.
Oh.
Oof. That was an oofer right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there you go. Duff Goldman, pastry chef, out of the building. We move on. Done. All right. Now, Liana.
Yes.
Before we come back next week to talk about the four remaining here once again, let the people know where they can find you and what else you have going on.
Ah, yes. You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I am podcasting about Survivor. Mike Bloom and I are doing the B&B for the season of Survivor, which is always super fun. We're going to have Mary and Asia on as guests this week. So the Love is Blind crew will be coming in, maybe not so blind, to talk about the latest episode of Survivor, the premiere. And then I'm also talking RuPaul's Drag Race with Beth and Amon, getting into everything. We covered the finale of UK versus the world, and we're plugging on with season 14 as it is.
Lovely, lovely. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream there 3-4 times a week. Definitely come through, say hi. Always appreciated. Podcastically speaking, I've got 90 Day going on with Rob Cesternino. We're getting close to the end of 90 Day Fiance before the 90 days, but then we just found out today, season 9 of 90 days coming back. So we've got that going on. That'll be on the same feed. So you're covered there. Bel Air, amazing show over on Peacock. I cover that on Post Show Recaps with Chappelle. So definitely check that out. Check us out over there. We have a good time with that too. I just did the Survivor draft with Liana right here over on the RHAP network as well. And I will be talking Big Brother Canada extensively, specifically Friday mornings. You can find me talking about what's going on the live feeds over there. Now, last but not least, if you can leave us a rating or review for this podcast, it will be appreciated very much. Go over to robswebsite.com/MaskedSinger. That's MaskedSinger. We do appreciate it for feedback and for other people finding us as well. If you're enjoying this, please do so. So we'll be back next week to talk about this group once again. Well, I guess we'll call them Group A for the second time. But until then, take care, have a good one, and we'll unmask you then. Bye.
Who's under there, I wonder? I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there?